audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Look at this. Mark chapter 2. And this is Jesus talking. Wasn't just anybody. I believe in every word in the Bible is inspired by God. Mm-hmm. Although some of the words are saying things that God wouldn't say, he's just quoting somebody else, but the whole thing's inspired. Right, Scott?
Something like that.
Like, if he quotes some horrible thing that King Ahab says, that doesn't mean that's what God believes.
Not what he wants.
And I don't think he holds with everything Job said either. If he did, then why did he get on him so hard for saying some of the stuff he said? But this is Jesus talking. I hope I get some letters on this, not because I want to get letters or snide remarks. It's just I want to know people who are listening. I get all kind of stuff where they downloaded and showed how long they downloaded. But they usually don't say much to me about it. Occasionally. And usually it's positive. You know. I can't remember anything negative in a long time. If you... Hey, would you turn that thing on back there? Those lights there. If you say something positive, they might say good job and all that. Say something negative, they probably just turn it off. A lot of folks. They still don't know what I'm going to say, that why I'm giving such a big introduction here. And on the, you never know, on the actual recording that goes up there, I mean, it's going there right now, but some of this might be cut off. It's kind of dull. But it's not going to be dull now, I don't think. And he said to them, this is verse 27 and 28, he is Jesus, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
Yes.
Then he says, therefore, that means a direct connection between what I just said and what I'm going to say. Therefore, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is Lord also of the Sabbath. That means if he's Lord of the Sabbath, if he's Lord of the Sabbath, then that means he's over it. That means he has authority over it if he's Lord of the Sabbath. That means it's under him. Now, I'm going to really make you mad here. Somebody, not you all. You all have heard my comments enough that it's not going to make you mad. But if he's over the Sabbath, we always talk about him being over the devil, so we're over the devil. That's true. Otherwise, how could you rebuke the devil if you weren't over him? Why are we over him? Because we're in Jesus and everything's under his feet. Why? So the Sabbath's under us too. Who is it that did the violation? Who is it that did the violation? One of the violations that they didn't like. It said just before that in verse 23, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Mm-hmm. Oh, we love those ears of corn. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably grain. But nevertheless. And the Pharisees said to him, what? Kind of like, hey, why do they on the Sabbath day do that which is not lawful? And he says, haven't you ever read what David did? When he had need and was hungered, he and they who were with him, how they went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave them also to them which were with him. This is something that happened before Jesus came, but Jesus was with him. Jesus himself pointed this out. Look, you all are above the Sabbath. So what do we do about this? Paul himself said, and I'm not... One thing Paul says, if somebody wants to put one day a bit higher than another, well, I'm not talking very well. That may be good, may just be I'm not talking well. Very well. Very good. He said, don't put anybody down that considers one day higher than another. Mm-hmm. But he says that you all that don't consider one high above another don't get on the other ones. We sure have a lot of getting on the other ones. Mm-hmm. We sure ought to get on somebody like the Jewish people or like the Messianic Christians who go from sundown to sundown. Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, and that's their Sabbath. We sure shouldn't get on them. But they shouldn't get on somebody, according to this and according to what Paul said, they shouldn't get on somebody that doesn't do that. But here's what we Christians have done, one of the things we've done. We've, in some circles, we've said, well, the Sabbath is done away with on Friday to Saturday night. It's actually on Sunday now. What? In other words, you realize you were free of this, you read this stuff, so you just changed it to another day. What it's about, if you want to know what it's about ceasing. That's what Sabbath means. It means ceasing, taking time away and dedicating it to the Lord.
Yes.
And if you work all day on the Sabbath, whatever you think it is, the problem is the Sabbath isn't really Sunday anyway, if you're going to be legal about it. It's Friday night, Saturday night. According to the Bible. According to the Bible. As somebody used to say, it's true. Mm-hmm. It's what it says. Mm-hmm. You can read that very plainly. But then they got this, well, they called the Lord's Day in the early church. They started calling that Sunday. But what Paul came out and says, no, it's not one day is not higher than another. But you know, if somebody wants to do that, if they even want to think it's Sunday instead of Saturday, it's fine with me. I don't care. Whatever works for you in your culture or whatever. But the thing is, you're really not bound to it according to the Bible. Now, when I was a little kid, I mean, they drilled it into me that it's Sunday. I noticed we always went to a restaurant on Sunday. Many times we went to a restaurant on Sunday. I remember one time I ate half a cockroach in a A&W, oh, I shouldn't have said that, in a certain root beer stand's hot dog.
Oh.
And I bit into it and I saw half of a bug there.
Oh.
I think I ate the other half.
Oh.
And I asked my dad, what's this? He said, oh, that's nothing. Don't worry about it. That's a chili bug.
Oh.
He tried to minimize the problem. But they didn't get on us for eating. And they didn't get on the women for cooking. Although in the Old Testament they did. You couldn't. You had to eat the manna that was there. They wouldn't even get to cook it, did they, on the Sabbath? We don't think so. Now, Scott's in a little quandary on that. He's kind of saying no. I don't know if they weren't supposed to pick it. Now, what they're supposed to do, if they had enough for 2 days, I don't know. I'm at a loss. I'm sure there's people out there in radio land that know. And you can just write us, since you don't write us very often. You can just put a little remark there, and we'll read it there on if you're one of the people that have the actual site there. If you listen to something, you'll hear it. If you hear the recordings on online, you'll know that. If you don't, it's www.wordchurch.biz, B-I-Z, and you can go there and then go to the recording of it. I'm at this moment forgot why I wanted to go to the recording of it, but anyway, it's there. Well, for one thing, you hear these, you watch these audio, these videos, and we don't have nearly as many of those as we do of the audios. So, but we have quite a few, and we're getting up where quite a few people have listened. I'm sure it was sometimes it was us that were editing it or something, but there's quite a few downloads there. I'll put it on Facebook, and I won't have really any likes there sometimes. I'll have one or two, but I don't know if those people really listen to it or not. But somebody is, because it shows up later in the audios and in the videos. It shows up. So some people watched it apparently, but didn't get back there to say they liked it. It's fine with me. Well, I don't care about that. I don't need to know whether you liked it or not. I hope you did. At least you didn't say anything nasty to me, so I figured you did. Mm-hmm. Or Scott, or Dana, or Julie. But you know, I'm not trying to put down people's belief of the Sabbath. What I'm trying to put up is Jesus says he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And that the Sabbath is for you, not you for it.
Yeah.
But what is the big message there? Because we're not supposed to get on somebody for believing, you know, in a more, you know, structured kind of thing that's, you know, or about Sabbath and different laws and things or festivals and all that. It's okay. But what's the big message here? You're not under the law. You're under the kingdom of God. And that is where you get deeper. By being under the kingdom of God. That's where you get deeper. That's how you go further. I really don't think it's real profitable to sit around arguing about what day's what, or whether a Christian ought to celebrate, say, Pentecost and all that. A long time ago, the church set up a church calendar, and they celebrate some of the Jewish festivals, like Pentecost. It's right there. It's right on the church calendar, and other things that some way or another is connected to the Old Testament and to the New Testament things that were going on and happened. But do you really want to go deep, or you just want to argue about that? Argue, as my granddad used to say. So you really want to argue about that? That meant, why are you arguing about that? It says here, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I don't want to use a word that's kind of loaded and everything, but this is a new system. Everybody's all concerned about hearing the words new order. Well, certain words, they connect it so much to different theories and different beliefs and different things and interpretations that you kind of hate to even use the word anymore. But this is a new system that Jesus has put in here. That's why he came. And in this new system, he's over all of it. And if you want to know why he didn't grasp that, he didn't grasp it. He gave it all up. Father gave it to him. I've always wanted a president, and I'd want this in any country. You know, we're like this week, for instance, there's more people in other countries that are downloading audios than here in America. They're just tired of me. And Scott and Dana and Julie, they're just tired of us. But people in other countries are really downloading, and sometimes a lot here download, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, there's a new thing that Jesus instituted a long time ago when he came on this earth, and he came here to do it. Well, what I was going to say about the presidents was, I've always wanted a president that didn't want it. I don't know if we've ever had one. I think we've had some that once they got in, they didn't want it. I can think of one that I thought that I saw him speak one time, a long time ago. Saw him speak, and I thought, he doesn't want to win this election. He was already president. He's running again. But he doesn't want to win this. I just thought that because I saw him speak. And it just was in his eyes. It was in everything. I just thought, he doesn't want this. He's just going through the motion, and he lost. Later on, I saw a book, whether it's true or not, or heard a book quoted on radio of some normal newscast. And somebody had written a book, one of the insiders of that campaign or whatever, and said, well, you know, he really didn't want to win again. And but you could tell it by him talking. I really hope y'all elect me again. Wasn't that? He was doing his duty. See, he basically he had to run. I mean, he was kind of backed in the corner, and he was already president, and you know. And I think he did a pretty good job, but he just. I'll give you a hint. His son won later. That's all I'll say. But there's a new order. There's a new thing. New. And in this new thing, Jesus is over all of it. So you're not under bondage anymore. So don't be arguing about which day's the Sabbath. But go deeper. So many things that Jesus said, there was something really deep in it. You know, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And they had just broken it. They'd just broken the law. But see, Jesus is above all law, so you don't break it anymore. He was there with the disciples, and he hadn't died and risen yet, but he's over it all. So they're with him, and so they harvest, so to speak, on the Sabbath day. But it's okay. But he projects back to his relative David and said what he did was okay. That basically he's using it as proof that, well, David did it. Because, you know, they're going to reverence David anyway. You know. So that's part of the reason he did it. But, you know, I mean, you don't hear them really getting down on David. David is the man. He's the king. But he was, so to speak, a type of Jesus. Kind of a foreshadowing. And he did that thing, talked about eating the sacred bread. Jesus is above it all. And I know people get mad at these kind of things, but that means you're above it. You're above the devil. Now, the law isn't the devil, but what I'm saying is it's about authority over something good or something bad or anything. You're over it because you're... Why? Because of you? Because you're a great person? No, because you're in the body of Christ. That's why. You're free. I am free because he took my sentence. We just sang that. You're free. Amen. As we've been talking lately, you're free of fear. Bible says you are. I heard somebody put it this way one time. I heard it again this week. It was about something else, but said somebody saw somebody run a red light or do something. So they ran down to the mayor and says, "You've allowed this man to run a red light." No, if a policeman saw it, he just because nobody saw it, it's still against the law. And I'm not saying go run red lights because you have authority over everything. You still got to keep the laws that keep everybody safe. We're talking about the Old Testament law. And a lot of it's good, but you do it because if it's good, not because you have to. But anyway, he was talking about this. The first illustration I heard of that I can remember hearing about it, it's like a guy, a policeman let a guy just, something like this, let a guy just go through a light. But he let him go through and he went on through. He didn't use his authority. You have a lot of authority you don't use, but you could use it. And one of the places we need to use it is that you don't have fear. The Bible says absolutely you can prove it from the scriptures. You can watch the earlier videos or audios or whatever. There's another one on that I think we're putting up right now. We're kind of behind. We're usually behind a month or two on the audios, maybe three. But these videos are up every week pretty much. So you can go back and look at all that, but the Bible makes it very clear that you've been set free from fear.
Amen.
Give me a scripture, Scott, that we're set free from fear.
Hebrews 4:14.
What's it say?
Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Release them from what? Fear of death. I think the last one we had, the last thing we had last Sunday, I think it's called, what is it called? Anyway, something like that. it's called, the worst fear is the fear of death, and you're released from it. You're free from it. Mm-hmm. Got to get out of fear. And the Bible says you have, and the more you study it, the more it just seems like it's gone. Study it in faith.
Amen.
Bible study just didn't fill your mind, it fills your spirit. It's like tonight. Somebody may like what I'm saying, not like what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is out of the Bible, so it fills your spirit.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're free from the law, you're free from fear, you're free from all that stuff. Mm. And no use to argue about it. Scott.
Let's look a little bit further in Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
And look at chapter 4. Hebrews 4, starting with verse 1. Look at a few scriptures here. You know, Jesus was faithful to God. If you look back up here in chapter 3, it says, therefore, let's look at chapter 3, 1 first. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him. So Jesus was faithful to God because he was appointed to become our high priest, our representative in heaven, the priest that considers our weaknesses and presents them to God. And he did something about them. Jesus did something about the weakness, about the sin. He took care of the sin situation, the problem that all the human race has been bound up in, and set them free, just like Don said a minute ago. So it says, for the one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Jesus built the whole thing. He built everything from ground up, from foundation up. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. There was not anything made that was not made by him. So he became the creator became the Savior, and the Savior became the priest, the high priest, to our God, to intercede. The Bible says he continually intercedes on behalf of those who belong to him. And that's you and me. If you accept Jesus as Lord, that's you and that's me. Because we know that he is seated at the right hand of God, therefore, to intercede on our behalf. He's our lawyer in heaven. You have a representative in heaven. And we're here on earth, but we're also in heaven. So now let's look over chapter 4 and look at verse 1. We know that Jesus was he was faithful to God in all things. And therefore, he was above all things. He was above the Sabbath. He was above all the rules and regulations, all the law that Moses gave out, that God gave to Moses. Because if you believe in the holy Son of God, you believe that he was the Savior and that he was holy and he never made a mistake. His blood was pure. And when he offered his blood to the Father said, "Yes, this blood I accept. I receive it as sacrifice for the sins of the whole world." Well, let's look at chapter 4 then, verse 1. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear or consider or look strongly at, lest we, any of you, seem to come short of that you have faith. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So he's talking about the nation of Israel going out of Egypt and going through the wilderness, being led forth into a new land, a new place, and somewhere along the way they didn't believe. They didn't accept what God had for them because they didn't accept it by faith. They didn't mix faith into the equation. They didn't put their faith to work. Look at verse 3. "For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.'" The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Your fears were dealt with from the foundations of the world. It says that Jesus Christ was crucified, offered for our sins before the world was ever made. Very interesting. That God's plan was already put in motion long time before Jesus came to the earth. But it says here that the whole nation, except for Joshua and Caleb, did not accept it, did not mix faith with it. So they were not able to enter the rest. What God is talking about is entering his rest. Because it says then in verse 4, "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." Now that has to do with his creation. But the seventh day is where you live in freedom, where you live in peace, and where you live in no condemnation. It is the place where Jesus came and he took care of all of that for us. That's how he is. He's greater than the Sabbath. He's above it. Enter the rest of God. And it says here that if you enter the rest of God, you cease from your own labors, just like he ceased from his labor. So it says, verse 9, or 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." Praise God. Praise God, there's another day. There's another group of people who are going to believe, and they're going to mix faith with this promise that there is a rest for the people of God, and you can enter that rest and cease from your own striving and your own labor. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and I will give rest to your heart, to your soul." So here, verse 9, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore let us be diligent to enter that rest." The old King James says, "Let us labor to enter the rest," or "be diligent." This is the new King James. "Be diligent to enter the rest." In other words, get into God, get into Jesus Christ, and mix faith with what he has done for you. And then you will enter a place of rest. Jesus called it, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." He gives his peace unto us. And we no longer have to strive to try to be good enough for our dad to love us and accept us and to receive us. For our daddy loved us so much that he took our place. He took our place. He says, okay, son, okay, daughter, I'm going to go in your place. And I'm going to do the works, and then I'm going to hand over the result to you. And the result is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So here it is. The rest that God promised is here and it's available. We have a whole world out there right now could use it. It's for them. It's for the whole world. They can use it. This world, if you haven't noticed, is not in rest. It's in trouble. It's in big problem. But Jesus already knows the depth of the problem. He died in the middle of that and gave salvation and forgiveness of sins. So here he says, verse 14 through 16, and then I'm going to close and we'll pray. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here's what he says you should do. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come and get the rest that God had promised. He promised it to Israel, and some of them didn't receive it. They did not enter the rest. But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, who said, we are well able to obtain or take this land. Let's go up at once and receive it. And they received the rest of God. Joshua so much received it that every place he set his foot upon the land, God gave it to him. And he beat and won many enemies who came against him to possess the land. But he didn't have to do it. It was all God. God did it for them. And it's the same for us today in our salvation. Today, God did it for you. God did it. He took care of it. Let us then, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Yes. If you're in a time of need right now, tonight, you can come boldly to the throne room. He says, come boldly into the throne room. You know, Jesus tore the veil so that there is free entrance into the very presence of God. There is free entrance into the Holy of Holies. He says, come into the throne room and say, Daddy, Abba, Father, I need mercy and I need grace and I need help in time of need. So whatever your need is tonight, you come boldly to the Lord and you receive His rest. The Sabbath rest is for you. But it's in Jesus Christ, knowing Him, receiving Him, living in Him, living for Him, that you receive the full rest of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the word and the promises, great and precious promises, Lord, that bring us to maturity. Help us, Lord, to come. In time of need, we come, Lord, even tonight again. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin, so we can come boldly to the throne room and say, Jesus, help. Help us. And be near. For we want to be still and know that you're God. We don't want to move without you. We want to be still and know that you are in charge, that you are over all things, that you are the Creator, that you are also the Savior. And we commit, we confess, the high priest of our confession is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And we thank you for it so much, Lord. For everyone who receives him, they are set free from fear, and they are set free from all of the past and all of the sin, and from all their own striving and their own labor. And let Jesus do the work. In your name we pray. Amen.